Let's go to God in a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you that we can sing praises to your name, and that your word says that you dwell in the midst of your praises. Oh God, help our lives to be a praise to you every day. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, 241 years ago, seems like a long time, but it's not that long ago. My mother, in her lifetime, that's just a little more than twice her lifetime. 241 years ago, on July the 2nd, interesting, that's today, July the 2nd, our Continental Congress unanimously voted to accept the Declaration of Independence. It had been written a few days before, and those men signed their names to that document and put their lives at stake, because had our country not become independent, they would have been wanted criminals for having signed such a document as that against Great Britain. In the Declaration of Independence, it starts out with our Creator and nature's God. Isn't that interesting? In the very introduction and the preamble, it talks about the Creator and nature's God. The basis of our Declaration of Independence. Well, John Adams wrote, he said, that July 2nd will be the most significant day in the history of America. Isn't that interesting? But it wasn't until July 4th that the declaration was actually officially accepted. And that's why we celebrate the 4th of July. These men put their lives at stake for the freedoms that we have today. They took a stand. How many of us are willing to take a stand for God, or to take a stand for what we believe is right? Well, we took a stand and started this church. But this Declaration of Independence was given so that we could have the freedom to worship God, so that we could be free people, so that we could serve God the way we were led to serve Him and enjoy the life that God wanted us to have. And because of that, this nation became one of the greatest nations on earth. And look at the freedoms we have today. Look at the way we live today. In the last 100 years, we live better today than anybody has ever lived in all of history. We've got cars. 100 years ago, almost 100 years ago, my mother went to school in a school bus that was pulled by horses. But now we have cars. We have houses that are heated, and we do not have to cut our own logs. Some of us still do. We don't have to. Heated by electricity, heated by gas, air-conditioned. We have refrigerators that keep our food fresh and cold. We have washing machines so we don't have to work so hard washing our clothes. What a wonderful way to live. God has truly blessed this nation, because this nation started out by putting God first. A year later, in 1777, the Continental Congress decided to buy 20,000 Bibles and give them out to the citizens of this country. Now, would our Congress do that today? And here's what they said. They said the use of the Bible is so universal and its importance so great. The committee recommends that Congress will order the Committee of Commerce to import 20,000 Bibles from Holland, Scotland, or elsewhere into the different parts of the states of the Union. Wow. John Quincy Adams, our sixth president, and by the way, he was the son of John Adams, he said the general principles of which the fathers achieved independence were the principles of Christianity. Now listen to that. The general principles of which the fathers achieved independence were the principles of Christianity. From the day of the Declaration, the American people were bound by the laws of God, which they all, and by the laws of the gospel, which they nearly all, acknowledged as the rules of their conduct. Isn't that something? The people that signed our Declaration of Independence all believed that the laws of God were the laws by which to be governed, and most of them believed that it was the laws of the gospel. Where have we gone? What has happened to our nation? In 241 years, and actually it started slipping around 1963 with Madeline Murray O'Hare and taking prayer out of schools. And when you start to take prayer out of schools, and then you start to take this away and that away from God's word, what we are doing in our nation today is we are moving from under the hands of God. When Jesus walked the streets of Jerusalem, he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered you together under my wings as a mother hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you would not." When our country started out under the hands of God, and we've slowly are moving away from under the hands of God. It's not that God is removing his blessings from us. We are removing ourselves from his blessings, and not all of us, not us here, but this nation as a whole is stepping out away from under the hands of God. Of God's blessings. And yet, this is still one of the greatest nations there ever was. We're a republic. We, the people, elect a certain group of leaders to represent us and to decide how to rule this nation. And that's a republic. Best form of government here on this earth. But it is not the best form of government. You see, the best form of government is not a democracy. It's a theocracy. A government ruled by God. When Israel was a nation, God did not want them to elect a king. God said, "I will be your ruler." People didn't want that. They wanted a king. And so they elected Saul, and then they elected David. And God says, but when you go that direction, you're going to have problems, because now you're going to be looking to man and not to God. And as our nation began to look more to men and not to God, we began to remove ourselves from under his hands. There's coming a day, though, when we will no longer have a democracy or a republic. There's coming a day when Jesus Christ is going to return to this earth and we are going to have a theocracy. We are going to be ruled by God because he will be the ruler of all the earth. And that's what Psalm 24 is all about. For those of you who are visiting us today, I've done a series on Psalm 22, 23, and 24. And all three go together. If you go home today and want to read Psalm 22, it is a picture of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and how he paid the price for our sins. And it goes right into Psalm 23, which we're living in today. Because he paid the price for our sins, he is now our shepherd. His Holy Spirit lives in us, and he guides us and leads us. And that goes right into Psalm 24, that our Heavenly Father, our Lord Jesus, is coming back to this earth to set up his kingdom here on this earth. And it might be sooner than we think. He wants us to be ready all the time. The first half of Psalm 24 talks about how God is looking for us to be pure in heart. He's looking for us to be people that have a renewed mind. He's looking for us to follow his word. And as we do that, we prepare this world for his return. Terry, if you would please give me Psalm 24 and start it out with verse 7. Verse 7 is 7, 8, 9, and 10 are the last four verses of Psalm 24. And it talks about the gates, which I think is really interesting. Well, you can stop right there. I'll back up a couple ones, Terry. Go back to even 4. Go back to 3. There we go. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? Who is going to stand by the temple of God? Go on to verse 4. He who has clean hands and a pure heart. He who does what is right. He's been forgiven. He who does not lift up his soul to what is false and who does not swear deceitfully. And verse 5. He will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. And verse 6. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek the face of God. God's calling us to seek his face. Today you got a bookmark in your bulletin. And it's taken from 2 Chronicles 7:14. And God says, if my people, those who are called by my name, do you know who the people are who are called by God's name? They're the Christians. We're called by the name of Christ, and they're the Jews. They're called by the name of the God of Israel. If my people, those who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, seek his face, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. That is what America needs to do. Seek the face of God. And as we do that, go on to verse 7. 7 says, lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Now, go to verse 8, because verse 8 repeats this. Well, who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Go on to 9 and watch the repetition. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. And go on to 10. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. In the Bible, whenever you see something repeated again, they say it once and then repeat it, it is 10 times stronger than if it's said just once. Jesus in the Bible often said, "Amen, amen, I say unto you." In other words, he's saying, this is most certainly true. This is most certainly true, what I am saying unto you. Go back to verse 7. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. The word lift up there comes from the Hebrew word nasa. And when in English we say it, NASA. Isn't that interesting? The National Aeronautics and Space Administration. Where do you think they got those NASA letters from? They got it from Hebrew, because it means to up and away. And that's our space program. Lift up. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. What this verse is saying is that open up the gates wide, way up to the heavens. Expand them. Exalt them. Because our Lord is so great and so mighty. Open up the gates way to the heavens, that the King of glory may come in. Go on to the next one. Verse 8. Who is this King of glory? The Lord. Strong and mighty. The Lord. Mighty in battle. And go to the next. Again, it says, lift up your heads, O gates. In other words, open those gates up to the heavens. Expand them, exalt them, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? Go to verse 10. The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. God is coming back to this world to set up his kingdom here on earth. And he wants us as a people to be so tuned into him that we open up the gates. Oh Lord, I love you. Oh Lord, I dedicate my life to you. Oh Lord, I focus everything I do upon you. If you want to experience even more of life than what you already have, just focus in on Jesus Christ. Jesus, I want to know you better. Talk to him every day, throughout the day. Follow his word. If my people, those who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, talk to God, and turn from their wicked ways, turn away from sin and be faithful to the gospel, and seek his face. That's what he calls us to do. Then I will hear from heaven and forgive your sins and heal your land. God wants a relationship, a personal relationship with each of us. Jesus Christ died to give it to us. And if we don't go for it all the way, and boy, I'll tell you, every one of us, myself included, we all need a better relationship with God than we already have. And that's why I preach it so much. Because if you hear it enough, you're going to start thinking about it enough. And if you start thinking about it, you're going to start focusing in on him. And when you focus in on him, things are going to expand. You're going to be lifting up those gates, reaching up to heaven. And you're going to be filled with his Holy Spirit. Most of us here already have his Holy Spirit in us, if not all of us. He wants to fill us totally. He wants to fill me totally. And it's only me, it's only our own ideas, our own minds that keep it from happening. God loves you. He's coming back, and he wants us to get ready for him. And that's what Psalm 24 is all about. Let's go to God in a word of prayer. Thank you, Jesus, for being with us, O God. Lord, on this Declaration of Independence, as we're celebrating our independence from Great Britain, God, help us to celebrate our dependence on you, Lord. Help us to focus on you, so that we can grow closer to you and be the people that you created us to be. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.